Matthew chapter 10, and I'll be reading verses 16 to 25. And out of reverence to God, please stand as His word is read. Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 16. Look, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as serpents and as innocent as doves. Beware of them, because they will hand you over to local courts and flog you in their synagogues. You will even be brought before governors and kings because of me, to bear witness to them and to the Gentiles. But when they hand you over, don't worry about what you are to speak, for you will be given what to say at that hour, because it isn't you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father is speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by everyone because of my name, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to another. For truly I tell you, you will not have gone through the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, or a slave above his master. It is enough for a disciple to become like his teacher, and a slave like his master. If they call the head of the house Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? I've got a short video for you. May be seated. That was called to my attention when I was studying this. So, David, if you'll kill the lights for a moment and push play, Lana.
Dad, has it always been this way?
Well, even from the beginning, men hated Jesus. Even though he did nothing but love them and teach them and heal them, they nailed him to a cross. They thought they had killed him, but they only set him free to live in the heart of me who believe in him. Then came the apostles, and most of them killed for telling other people about Jesus. But by that time, it was too late. There were hundreds of people who believed in Jesus. So they tortured them and killed them, and they even left their bodies to rot as an example to other people. But the church kept right on growing, watered by the blood of these precious saints.
But Dad, did they want to die?
No. They didn't want to die. I mean, many of them had children just like you that they had to leave behind, but they were forced to make a choice. They could choose to live this one life here on earth and reject Jesus and be damned, or they could choose to believe in the words of Jesus and live forever.
I think I understand.
Here, maybe this will help you understand.
I have heard how Christians long ago were brought before a tyrant's throne, and they were told that he would spare their lives if they would renounce the name of Christ. But one by one they chose to die. The Son of God they would not deny. The great angelic choir sings. I can almost hear their voices ring.
I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength.
The years have gone, cause of Jesus still goes on. And now our time has come to count the cost, to reject this world, to embrace the cross. And one by one, let us live our life for the one who died to give us life. Till the trumpet sounds on the final day, let us proudly stand and boldly say, I will seek to honor His command. I pledge allegiance to the land.
You've got to remember that it wasn't always this way. I mean, my dad could even pray in school. Of course, they took that away from him, and then it became incorrect for us to believe in the Bible. And after that, they just stripped our right to worship away from us, and we quietly stood by. But son, I hope that you're never put in a position that you have to choose between your faith and your life. But if you are, I know which choice you're going to make. Because I know that Jesus lives inside of you. In the meantime, just pray like I taught you how to. And take care of your mom. And remember that God is the Father of the fatherless.
Okay, back to our scripture. Sunday, we were looking at the previous verses in chapter 10. we looked at the answer to the prayer the disciples were told to pray. In chapter 9, verse 38, it says, "Therefore, pray to the Lord of harvest to send out workers into his harvest field." And who was the answer? The 12 that Jesus had asked to pray. And it says, he summoned his 12 disciples. Disciple means student. And he gave them authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and heal every disease and sickness. Then it says, these are the name of the 12 apostles. Disciple means student. Apostle is a title meaning the sent out ones. It was the apostles that laid the foundation of the church. And there were signs and wonders given to the apostles to confirm that they were speaking the truth. And it lists the 12. And the list is also seen in Mark and Luke and Acts. The list in Acts doesn't list Judas Iscariot. And there's three sets of four. Peter is always the first. Judas Iscariot is always the last. And the first group of four includes Simon Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Now it's interesting, all four were fishermen. And they're two sets of brothers. God chose as his inner circle a group of good old boy fishermen. Now, in seminary, when you're translating Greek into English, they give you the Gospel of John. Because John uses the easiest Greek to translate. Now, Paul, he'd be like someone that's a professor at a college, and he's got 16 PhDs, and he writes in multiple PhD language. But John, James, Andrew, and Simon are the first four. And James and John are referred to as Boanerges, which means sons of thunder. So they were ones that were very boisterous, and they stood out among the apostles. The second group of four, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew the tax collector. Bartholomew is also known as Thomas and also known as Nathaniel. So he has several names depending on where you're looking. In the book of Acts, when it lists the apostles, it lists his name as Thomas. In other places it says Bartholomew, also known as Nathaniel. Thomas, he is known as Didymus, the twin, and he's the one that we recognize as doubting Thomas, because he said, I'm not going to believe until I touch Jesus that he's alive. Then the third group of four, James, the son of Alphaeus, that's to separate him from James, the half-brother of Jesus. Thaddeus, also known as Labelus. Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot. Now, James, is the son of Alphaeus, is also known as James the Younger, or James the Smaller. It could have been he was a short guy, or he just wasn't as influential as James, the brother of John. Simon the Zealot. Simon was in a group the equivalent of the French resistance during World War II. He was a patriot for France, and he would be working behind the scenes. The French resistance would work behind the scenes to help free France from German occupation. Well, Simon the Zealot was one that was working behind the scenes in the group to help get rid of the Roman occupation. Now, interesting, Simon the Zealot would have done anything to thwart the Roman influence. But he was in the group of 12 with someone that represented the Roman influence, Matthew, the tax collector. No conflict recorded between them. Jesus took these 12. He summoned them. He's the one that called them. He's the one that chose them for this mission. And he gave them authority to prove the message they were sending. Then he gave them a message. Go preach about the kingdom of God. And he gave them some guidelines. Don't head to the area of the Gentiles. And don't head to the area of the Samaritans. Now, if you encounter them, that's okay. But the message is first to go to the Jewish people. Scripture tells us that the gospel is first for the Jews and then for the Gentiles. Well, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus gives a message. Now go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. His mission he was sending them out at this time was just to proclaim the message to the lost sheep of Israel and tell them the kingdom of heaven is near. Then we come to our passage today. The disciples are told, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. In World War II, at the D-Day invasion, there were 13,000 plus paratroopers and over 6,000 infantry soldiers. The paratroopers were sent out behind enemy lines and they parachuted there. The infantry soldiers, who were not trained to parachute jump, were put into gliders. And so you had almost 20,000 soldiers sent behind enemy lines. They had a mission to go behind enemy lines to help with the invasion and prevent the reinforcement of the Germans at the beaches at Normandy. Well, Jesus is saying, I'm going to send you out like sheep among wolves. Sheep don't have any means of protecting themselves. The only thing they can do is run, and they don't do that very well. Unless you've got a small child on the back of the sheep and they're in a rodeo arena. But still, they don't run very well, especially when a wolf is chasing them. Well, Jesus says, disciples, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as serpents. Now think about it. Serpents generally don't come up and say, here I am. They hide. They think about what they're going to do. Now sometimes they get cornered, and that's when we more recognize them. But most of the time we don't see their actions. They're avoiding detection. That's not what he's saying. He's saying avoid conflict for conflict's sake. Don't just run out and charge the enemy just to get thrown in jail. We're going to see that more of this a little bit later, because he tells them, if you're persecuted in one town, move to another one. But then as innocent as doves. Now, the word innocent from Greek means not without, means without mixture. Oh, we have more light, illuminated. It's used of wine that doesn't have any water diluting it. And it's used of metal that doesn't have an alloy. It's just a pure metal. So basically what Jesus is saying, Don't water down the message. Because sometimes you've seen people do that. They won't present the whole message of Jesus Christ because they're afraid it might offend some people. I was listening to an interview of one pastor at a mega church. He said, I don't preach about sin because people don't want to hear about sin. They just want to hear about how they can feel good. That's watering down the message. Jesus said, don't do that. But then he says, beware of them because they are going to try to throw you in local courts, before the synagogues, governors, and kings. Now, think about it. A police officer chasing a criminal is not going to walk up nonchalantly to someone that just committed a violent crime. They're going to be wary of who they're approaching because they're representing someone that is confronting them with their wrongdoing. Well, we as Christians, presenting the message of Jesus Christ, confront people by the message that they are sinners. We are all sinners. Well, Jesus says, beware of them. Don't expect the world to be your friend if you're presenting the truth. And Jesus doesn't say, they might give you a difficult time. He says, they will. They'll put you before your local neighborhood court. They'll take you before the church. Matter of fact, even in John 16, verses 1 through 4, it says they'll think they're doing God a favor by bringing you in front of the church, the synagogue. You'll go before governors, go before kings. In our equivalent, that'd be before the state, and the kings before the federal. The national level. There's going to be persecution all over. And then it says, and you will go to the Gentiles. Remember, Jesus had previously told them, don't go to the Gentiles, to their area, and don't go to the Samaritans. But Jesus is saying there's going to come a time that you will go to them. And it says, when they hand you over, not if, when they hand you over, and we look all through history, people have been put to death for their faith in Jesus Christ. There's a book called Fox's Book of Martyrs, and it's not foxes that have died. Fox is the guy that wrote the book, that compiled the list, and it's a list of people that have died for their faith that he has the records of. But he said, Jesus tells disciples, when they do this, don't worry what you're going to say. Don't have a little script written out that you can read. You don't have to worry about that. God will give you the words to say. Because remember, you're speaking as a representative of God to them. God will give you the words that he wants you to say. Because we can't convince people with our wisdom. But God's words do not return void. And then he even says, you'll even have family members, brothers, fathers, children that will turn you over because they don't like what you're saying. And then he says, the key is you'll be hated because of my name. We see a lot of this today. People are hated because they belong to the wrong political party. If you belong to that party, I hate you just because you belong to that party. And the people on that side say, I hate you because you belong to that party. We had a war in our country in the 1860s where people took a stand against their close relatives because they said, you believe something different than I do. Well, Jesus is telling the disciples, you're going to be hated because you take a stand for my name. It's not they're going to hate you because of who you are. Jesus said they're going to hate you because of who Jesus is. we need to remember that if they hated Jesus because he confronts their sin, and they can't do anything to Jesus, he's in heaven. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They thought they could crucify him, but that's all part of God's plan. He showed his power over death by rising from the dead. We need to remember, Jesus says, if they persecuted me, don't be surprised they're going to persecute you. People in sin do not want to be confronted that they're sinners. If we look at our society today, nobody does anything wrong. It's always someone else's fault. He did that because of this. He did this because of that. I was listening to a news commentator on the way home from school and talking about how they're blaming businesses for moving out of crime-infested areas. Not because of the crime, it's because they're greedy. They're moving out of the high crime areas because they're greedy. It's not the fault of the crime, the people stealing. It's not the fault of the police that will not, or the prosecutors that will not prosecute theft. It's the businesses. And the businesses will blame somebody else. There's an interesting video about teachers. The teacher is an elementary math teacher, and the student got the problem 2 + 2 is wrong. And the teacher's trying to go, no, 2 + 2 is 4. And the student goes, no, it's not. It's 22. Ends up the teacher gets brought before the news media and is fired because she dares tell that student that his idea is wrong. And it's always somebody else's. It's not the child's fault that 2 + 2, he doesn't recognize it's 4. But it's somebody else's fault. The parents blame somebody else. The child blames somebody else. The principal blames somebody else. The news media blames somebody else. But when we proclaim the message of Jesus Christ, we are pointing the finger at ourselves and that individual. We are all sinners. We are guilty. Some people say, you know, I don't know why I feel guilty. I say, because you're guilty. We are all guilty of violating God's law. We don't need to be made to feel better about being guilty. We need to understand that we can be forgiven of our guilt. Jesus tells the disciples, he who endures to the end will be saved. Now look at verse 32. Therefore, everyone who will acknowledge me before others, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will also deny him before my Father in heaven. Are we going to take a stand to stand with Jesus? In the video we watched, I Pledge Allegiance to the Lamb, it talked about all the people that had taken the stand not to deny Jesus. In the world of running, there's an event called the marathon. It's 26 miles plus one lap around the stadium. If you quit before you finish that lap around the stadium after the 26 miles, you don't get credit for completing the marathon. We are in a marathon. running, and we're to tell people about Jesus. Now remember, be as shrewd as serpents. If we are not listened to in one place, go someplace else. Don't try to get thrown in jail. As Jesus told Satan when he was tempting him, don't put the Lord your God to the test. But don't back down when confronted, when you're asked, will you deny Jesus? God knows what situation we're going to face. And he will give us all the strength to endure in the situation he places us in. Will you pledge allegiance to the Lamb? Stand with me for our closing prayer. Dear Lord, I pray that we will remain true to the end and not back down from your truth, but present the truth clearly in every opportunity you give us, not trying to cause conflict, but presenting the message without watering it down. Let us speak the truth with love, as you'd pray in our situation. In Jesus' name.